Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. And God, as I speak, I pray that you would allow it to go forth with your power, that folks might heed the message, apply it to their hearts, and see the truth in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 15 is a transitional verse. It transitions to a completely different subject, and so we're going to address those few verses from 15 down to verse 19. The Bible says, "Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend." This 15 to 19 is about Israel, the northern kingdom, but it is a warning to Judah. Hosea begins verse 15 by warning Judah about Israel. Now, everything he's saying in these verses is about Israel. He said, "Come ye not to Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Thaven, nor swear the Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols." That's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom. "Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye." So this is talking about Israel. It says, "The wind hath bound her up in her wings." It's going to, the storm is coming and it's going to blow her away. So everything in here is about Israel, but it's a warning to Judah. Judah, don't go down the road that Israel's going. Amen. Hey, Judah, don't do what Israel's been doing. Don't follow in the footsteps. Don't worship the gods that Israel's been worshiping. Hey, this is a warning to Judah. Israel, you need to stay away from Israel. Now, isn't that sad? Amen. No. Come on now. Isn't that sad when God has to tell part of his people to stay away from the other part of his people because they're so corrupt and so immoral? Amen. It amazes me, the churches today that don't want to stand up for any truth. Amen. They don't want to stand up against sin. Amen. They're just out to fill the seats and get the crowds and build the buildings and build their own kingdom, not the kingdom of heaven. You say, "Oh, you ought not to say that." Well, wait just a minute, but I'm just going to tell you, when you let just anybody and everybody into the church, when it doesn't matter whether they're sinning against God, when it doesn't matter how they're living, when it doesn't matter what they're doing, and you just say, "Well," and you turn a blind eye to it just because you want to get the members in the church and put in the seat, friend, there's a problem there. Hey, and just because you call upon Jesus and they may even be saved, that doesn't mean that there's not a warning in God's word for God's people to stay away from some of the other of God's people because they ain't living right. Amen. He warns Judah about Israel. Israel's God's people, so is Judah, but he tells Judah, stay away from Israel, they ain't living right. Yeah. Amen. Well, when you do that, you're being rude. No, I'm being biblical. Now, I didn't say don't be nice. I didn't say don't love. But don't walk with them. Don't walk with them. You love them. You be kind to them. You try to reach them and influence them. But don't you walk with them. Look, this is a warning right here. Hey, he said, don't do it. Now let's see what he talks about. First, he talks about people to avoid. People to avoid. Don't spend your time in Israel. Come on, right here, verse 15. "Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend." Hey, Judah, don't wrap yourself up with Judah. Don't wrap yourself up with Israel. Stay away. Avoid people of Judah. Avoid the people of Israel. Isn't that what that passage is saying? He said, Judah, don't offend in the same way that Israel has. Well, how do you do that? You stay away. You stay away. Look, when someone has decided to sin against God, Now, I'm not talking about someone goes wrong, is living life, and they lose their temper on somebody. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that have actively chosen to be in rebellion to God, that they have chosen to be in rebellion to His Word. They have chosen to engage in immorality and behavior that is corrupt, immoral, and public. Yeah. Preacher, you're not supposed to judge. Says that I'm supposed to judge righteous judgment. You know how you judge righteous judgment? You don't judge according to your opinion. You judge according to the opinion of the Bible. Amen. So if the Bible tells me something wrong, you know what? If you tell something that's not the truth, you're a liar. That's not judging. That's what the Bible says. Amen. If you take something that's not yours from somebody else, you're a thief. Yeah. And that's not me judging. That's God's Word. It says that if you're not to steal. And if you steal, you're a thief. Amen. So you see, there are things that I can judge according to God's Word. It doesn't make me a judgmental Pharisee. It makes me a Bible believer. Amen. Now, when you start judging according to your own opinion, well, then you have a problem. Well, I don't think she ought to be wearing that color dress to church. Whatever, you know, I mean, that's just a stupid thing. But you know what I'm talking about. When you start making your own personal judgments that's not found in the book, then we can talk about being judgmental and being pharisaical and all that. But if I'm saying something according to the Word, it ain't judging. At least it's not judging outside of the bounds of what the Bible says that I should do. It says that I ought to judge righteous judgment. And let me tell you something. When there are people that are engaged in immorality and corruption and sin and degradation like the people of Israel were, you avoid them. Now that doesn't mean, I don't mean when, if you see them in the grocery store, you run away from them. Oh, preacher said I'm not supposed to talk to you. Don't come down my aisle. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you hanging out with them. I'm talking about you walking with them. How could two walk together lest they be agreed, Amos says. I'm not talking about you not talking to them at the grocery store or not being kind and polite and showing the love of Christ. I'm talking about you're going out to do what they're doing. You're going out and you're letting them influence you how to do the things that they have been doing. No, no, no. Someone like that, I say, I'll go to church with you. You can, come on, come to church with me. But I ain't going to the bar with you. Amen. You see the difference? I can be kind and I can love and I can show the love of Christ and stuff and I can spend, I'll take you to church, but I ain't going to the bar with you. Yeah. Hey, you can come over to my house for dinner, but I'm not going to hang out with you and your friends and have your entertainment. It ain't going to happen. You know why? Because you're not living like you ought to. You're living a life of immorality, a life of corruption, a life of sin. I ain't going to do it. Now, the world even has some sense about them when it comes to this. Now, come on. What does our law say? Our law says if you get convicted of a felony and you get probation or paroled, you serve 3 years of a 6-year sentence and you get paroled. Do you know what one of the stipulations of parole is? You cannot be in the company or associate with anyone else that has also been convicted of a felony.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Seems like to me the world has some sort of sense. Why do you think it is that the law doesn't want one felon who's on probation or parole hanging out with another one? Because they kind of think if they get together, they might think up something else bad to do. I'm shocked. One felon getting together with another felon and another felon might lead to some felonies.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not saying that people can't change. Don't go out here telling people that I said that nobody can change. People can change, and that doesn't necessarily mean just because someone is a felon that they're going to become a felon again. But I'm just saying the law says one felon that's on parole can't hang out with another known felon. Why? Because they have a more of a tendency to engage in further illegal activity. That's why. I wonder why God told Judah to stay away from Israel. Because Israel was immoral, corrupt, sinful, idol worshipers, all that stuff. And what did God think? God thought, well, if Judah walks alongside Israel, then Judah likely to become as corrupt and sinful and wicked and worshippers of idols like Israel. And by the way, we know the end of the story. We know that that's exactly what happened. Judah didn't heed what Hosea is saying right here. And they became idol worshippers too. And God had to send Babylon in to take them down, just like he had to send Assyria in to take down the northern kingdom. Come on, amen. I wonder if God knew if Judah hung out with Israel, they'd end up like Israel, so he told them to stay away from Israel. I think that's exactly what God knew. And Judah did not heed, and in verse 15 of chapter 5, you'll find that they did exactly that. Oh, Judah went just right along with what Israel was doing. Look, stay away from people that are corrupt. Stay away from people that are sinful. Now, I don't mean don't use your influence to win them to the Lord. I don't mean like that. Well, you said, well, Jesus hang out with sinners all the time. With one purpose in mind. To influence them for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you sit here and tell me he just went out to hang out with them just to go hang out with them. Mm-mm. No. He ate with them at their house. Mm-hmm. But you know, you find in every situation where that's happening, he's influencing. Amen. He is the influencer, not the influencee. He's the one influencing other people. Right? Yep. Amen. Amen. Yep. So, okay, you want to go hang out with somebody that's corrupt, somebody that's sinful, somebody that's immoral. That's fine. Go hang out with them. Use your influence. But don't hang out with them at the bar. Don't hang out with them at the don't hang out with them in the places of entertainment that caused them to be corrupt and sinful and all of that. Don't engage in the same type of immoral activities that they're engaged in. Oh, you want to go out to dinner at Olive Garden to talk to the to build a relationship and use your influence to bring them to church and get them right with the Lord? Amen and amen. You want to go out to the bar with them or go out to the dark places up with them and go out and participate in the evil and corrupt activities that they're involved in? No, sirree. Well, I can just go and sit and have a Coke at the bar. I can just go to the bar and have a Coke. Look, there's no better language in the English language to talk about that, but other than. That's just an excuse. Look, people to avoid. I'm going to tell you this right now. There are people that the devil puts in your life so they can gift wrap you for him. Don't be gift wrapped for the devil. Man, you spot that a mile away. Some corrupt, sinful, wicked person who has no desire at all to love God, to follow God, to go to church, to do what He says. And he wants to come in and yoke up with you and wants you to come out and hang out with him and go to his places of entertainment and go to his places and to do his business. No, no, no. Wait, you know what that is? That's the devil putting a person in your life to gift wrap you for him. You want to get gift wrapped for the devil, you go out and hang out with those people that are corrupt and sinful. And again, I'm not talking about not going to Olive Garden with them. I'm talking about you going to their places of entertainment, going to their places to hang out, participating in their activities. Look, I'm just simply telling you what Hosea told Judah. Stay away from Israel. They're not good people because they're not following God. You want to be gift wrapped for the devil, you go right ahead and hang out with them. But I'm telling you right now, well, you know, I'm going to change them. Look, I don't know how many ladies, and I'm not that old. I hadn't been in the ministry that long, but I bet you he's been in the ministry a little longer than I have. I bet you he would agree with me that he's probably met several of them too. But look, I've already met my fill of ladies that were going to church and loving God, that met them a man that didn't love Jesus, that didn't go to church, that wasn't saved, that wasn't living right. And what'd they say? I can change him. And they marry him. I'm going to get him to come to church. I'm going to get him to be the leader of the home. I'm going to get him to be what Jesus wants him to be, like you're some savior. Let me tell you something. I got something for you. You ain't Jesus.
Amen.
And only Jesus can change somebody like that. And the answer is not for you to marry him so you can change him. The answer is for you to stay away from him until Jesus does. There are people that the devil puts in your life for one purpose, to gift wrap you for him. Secondly, we see places to avoid. Places to avoid. Don't spend your time in places that negatively impact your walk with God. Gilgal. He said in verse 15, he said, "And come not ye unto Gilgal." He said, stay away from Gilgal. Now, why do we want to stay away from Gilgal? Well, Gilgal had a great significance to Israel. Gilgal was located near the Jordan River. Gilgal was the first base of operations for Joshua after he crossed the Jordan River. Gilgal was visited annually by the prophet Samuel. It was on his annual circuit. Most of the account of Samuel's interactions with King Saul was primarily based at Gilgal. The place where David was welcomed back by Judah after they defeated Absalom was Gilgal. Elisha's disciple, many of Elisha's disciples lived in Gilgal. Needless to say, Gilgal had a great significance in Israel, and it was a great spiritual significance in the country. It was a place where Jehovah was worshipped and adored and uplifted and praised. Jeroboam got involved when they split the kingdom. Gilgal was a great place of spiritual upliftment and spiritual enlightenment for the people of Israel to Jehovah, but not anymore. Gilgal had a great downfall toward apostasy. Gilgal, in fact, was now the center of the apostasy that Israel was involved in. Baal worship was rampant. Paganism had overtaken it. It wasn't a place to go no more. Nope. It was now the center of apostasy. In fact, not only Hosea, but also Amos warned people to stay away from Gilgal. I mean, they said, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Says, though thou Israel play the harlot, yet not let Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Hey, don't go there. Look, there's places a Christian needs to stay away from. And look, you can argue, you can fight about it. And oh, people love to call it, legalism. Tell you a story about a family that was involved in my dad's church in Mississippi. They came to my dad's church before my dad was the pastor. They came there and they got saved. Man and wife and two teenage girls. They got saved. And they were going to church faithfully. They were going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night and things. And one Friday night, they decided they were going to go out to eat. This was in Goshen, Mississippi, where my dad pastored. They decided they were going to go out to eat, and so they went out to eat. And you know where they went out to eat? They went out to eat in Biloxi. And if you've ever been down to Mississippi, know anything about Mississippi, Biloxi is the casino town of Mississippi. That and Gulfport. And they decide they're going to go into Biloxi, and they're going to go to the all-you-can-eat restaurant at the casino. And let me tell you something. I heard good things about their food. Now, they went in there, and they went and got their food. All this. I mean, it's a monster. I've never been there, but I've been told it was a monster buffet. Got everything you could ever want to eat on there. Look, this is what it is. It makes Golden Corral look like a Quick Trip. And it was like the Walmart of buffets. They went in there and they got everything they wanted to eat, and they sat down there, and they were maybe about halfway through the meal. And one of the girls, not one of the parents, one of the girls, the teenage girls, looked at her dad and mom. And she said, "Dad, Mom, I don't feel right." They said, "What's the matter, honey? You sick?" She said, "No, no, no. It's not the food. It's not my stomach. I just don't feel right." And they said, "Well, what's the matter?" She said, "Well, you know, we're saved now. You know, Jesus has washed our sins away, and Jesus forgave us, and we got saved, and we've been going to church. I just don't feel right sitting in this casino no more."
Amen. Yes, sir.
Mom and Dad looked at each other. They got up, settled the bill, walked out, never went back. Now you can say, but they were only there to eat. I'm just telling you what happened to them. Why didn't they feel good? Well, not 100 feet away was people throwing away their money. Some people gambling away the money that their kids were supposed to eat on that week, or pay the rent for the house this week. Look, let me ask, why do you think they put a lot of casinos on the Indian reservations? Because they know they'll go after it. Now, they say it's to make them money and all that kind of stuff, but we know better, don't we? And casino is just one place. You tell me the place. I know another pastor. He's a drunkard. Not now, he was. He was the town drunk. he was the He was the town drunkard. That didn't come out right. He was, in his former life, the town drunkard. Known for it. Came to church, got saved. Walked the aisle, got saved. Now he's the pastor of that same church. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what he did? He won't go eat with you if you go into a restaurant that serves alcohol. Now look, I'm not a prohibitionist against going to a restaurant that sells alcohol. I've gone to them. In fact, you can't hardly even go to a grocery store and buy groceries without going to a grocery store that sells alcohol. Look, but I'm just simply saying, for him, he said, I ain't going there. They said, well, why? He said, it's not that I think that it's wrong for everybody. It's just wrong for me because that's part of my previous life. And that draws me too close to what the devil had me all wrapped up in. And you know what he said? He said, I don't want to be wrapped for the devil, gift wrapped Amen. For the devil.
Amen.
Now look, sometimes the places that are dangerous for one Christian have no pull. I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life. It's never touched my tongue. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that out of boast. I'm saying that praise be to God and His grace that He kept me out of that stuff. But I go in there and see these people drinking at a restaurant and doesn't do nothing for me. I don't say, oh man, I wish I had that drink. I think, man, that's dumb. They just spent $10 on a drink. My wife and I were talking about that at one restaurant we were at, and you know they always hand out. And I was flipping through, and I went too far, you know, got to the wine section and the alcohol section. I looked at it and I said, "Honey, this is another good reason not to drink, man. You can save about $20 going out to eat." Good night. I'm just simply saying there. For one person. There may be a place for one person that says, I can't do that. It may have no effect on you. Look, I can go into those, have no effect. But this pastor says, I can't go to those places. Because it gets me too close to the places that give me, that pour temptation on my life and get me gift wrapped for the devil.
Amen.
And you know what? I dare say you know your vices. Come on now. You know what the devil had you wrapped up in before you got saved. Come on now. You know what the devil had you wrapped up in. Well, I'm a child of God now. I can control it. Yeah, tell that to Judah. God told Judah to stay away from Israel. They didn't do it. And they got all messed up too. I'm just simply saying there are places the devil can use to get you gift wrapped just for him. And for Judah, Hosea said, that place is Israel. That place is Gilgal. The second place he mentions is Bethel or Bethaven. Bethaven is Bethel, okay? Bethel was likely more sacred than Gilgal. Abraham stayed there. Jacob saw the vision of the ladder there. Jacob returned to Bethel when he returned to God. Bethel was a central place for worship. But it became a central place for the worship of the northern kingdom as well. While it was a sacred place, while it was a spiritual place, it, like Gilgal, had become a corrupt, immoral, idol-worshipping place. Why? Because Jeroboam I, who took over the kingdom from Rehoboam when it split, he turned Bethel into a shrine to compete with Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. Basically, he said, I don't want you going back and worshiping in Jerusalem so that your heart is turned to the king of Judah. I want you worshiping here so that you don't decide you want to get the kingdom back together. I don't want you going worshiping, so I'm going to set up this shrine. I'm going to set up this shrine here, and we're going to burn incense here, and we're going to worship here. The problem is, it wasn't the same kind of worship. They weren't worshiping the same God. Jeroboam 1 used Bethel to end the pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Not only did he want them to worship there, he didn't want them doing any type of pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And this kind of worship was condemned by the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. We won't go there for time's sake. But in 1 Kings 13, the prophet rebukes Jeroboam for offering sacrifice and burnt incense in Bethel. The implication was that Bethel, which means the house of God, by the way, had become the house of deception. The house of worshiping idols. Idols are a form of deception. And it had become a house of deception, a house of idol worship rather than the house of the Lord. Hosea says, by the power of the Lord, stay away from Gilgal, stay away from Bethel. There are just places that Christians need to avoid so they don't get gift wrapped for the devil. Amen. And you know those places. That's right. For you. Now, there are some places that apply to everybody. There are some places that apply to all Christians. There are some places that you know you can't be. There's some people's houses that you can't go to because you know they're involved in things that they ought not to be involved in. Things that had you all wrapped up and chained in sin before. And you say, if I go to that place, I can't. You know, there's another thing. These recovery houses, where they have them come in and live. You know, the most effective ones have found this. They don't take residents in their recovery homes from the local community. They will refer you to another one far away, but they don't want you coming into the local. You know why they don't want the locals? Because they know that you're drug dealers there. And so anytime you want to get a fix, you can just call your drug dealer. So they found that if they'll send them hundreds of miles away to another recovery place, then you don't have no contacts, you don't have your drug dealer on hand, right? All that kind of stuff. They found it's more effective to get you as far away from the places that brought you down in order to enhance your recovery. Yes. What? You mean I should stay away from the places that once tempted me and brought me down and made me a gift-wrapped present for the devil? Yes. Yes, and a thousand times yes. And it may not be drugs for you, and it may not be alcohol for you, but what is it for you, and what are the places that you need to avoid to keep from getting gift-wrapped for the devil? For Judah, Hosea said, it's Gilgal and Bethel. Don't go there. In fact, just stay away from Israel altogether. That's what he said. Yep. I know y'all don't want this message to go an hour and a half. Third, proclamations to avoid. He said avoid certain people. He said avoid certain places. He said avoid certain proclamations. Look what he said in verse number 15. He said, oh man, the preacher ain't even out of verse 15 yet. Neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. Now, the Lord liveth was a common phrase used in Israel and in the Old Testament. As the Lord lives was a common phrase used by men of God in the Old Testament. Boaz used it in Ruth 2:13. David used it in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. Solomon used it in 1 Kings 2:24. Micaiah used it in 2 Chronicles 18:13. And Jeremiah refers to the phrase in Jeremiah 5:2. It was a common phrase used. So why would Hosea say, don't use it? He said, nor swear the Lord liveth. Why is he now banning or putting a prohibition on this proclamation of praise to the Lord? Why is he now doing this now? Well, because it was not only was it a common phrase, but in Hosea's day it had become a phrase, a misused phrase. They were now saying, as the Lord liveth, in reference to idols. It had been profaned by its current use. And the use of the phrase should be abandoned as its meaning had become corrupt. They began, remember Baal is the god of fertility, I said, the false god of fertility. And they would say, as the Lord liveth, in reference to them getting pregnant and them becoming with child. What they did is they took a good phrase and they manipulated it and made it a bad phrase. And Hosea said, don't use it. I'll give you a for instance. You'll never hear me or most any other independent Baptist Christian or other Christians for that matter say, oh, so-and-so is such a gay man.
Yeah.
Now, used to, gay just meant happy.
Yeah.
That's what they would say. They would say, oh, he's a gay lad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to say that today. Nobody that doesn't want to be associated with that lifestyle. Well, here we go again. Preacher's picking on them. Look, I'm just calling it like I see it. I'm just saying that's a phrase that I won't use in reference to one of my Christian friends because I don't want confusion amongst the culture, right?
Right.
It's a phrase that used to be a fine phrase to use. Now it's not. There's a word that used to mean donkey. That's all it meant. They used it regularly. It wasn't profane. It meant a donkey. Now, Christians need to avoid that. Now, we read it in the Bible. We understand what the Bible meaning of it is. So we read it in the Bible. That's fine. And we move on. But you're not going to go driving down the road with your kids and say, hey, kids, look at that.
No.
You're not going to do that, are you?
No.
Because to them, it means something completely different than you may be meaning it or implying it, right? Okay, so I'm just simply saying this was a... Now, this went a little bit further than just word use and word changes. This was... This proclamation... As the Lord liveth, was a spiritual phrase. It was a phrase that a God-fearing, Jehovah-fearing person would say so as not to be prideful and say, well, I'm going to go do this. No, they would say, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to. We have a modern phrase of it now. We say, if the Lord wills. Right? But it had become corrupt in Hosea's day. Because it no longer meant Jehovah as Jehovah lives. It could mean as Baal lived. Or as one of the other gods lived. It says, I'm going to do something according to Baal's will. I'm going to do something according to whatever the god may be. I'm going to do it according to their will. It wasn't talking about God anymore. You know basically what it was. It had now become a form of idol worship. And there are things... So let me say this. Words matter.
Amen.
Words matter. Don't tell me it's... Well, it's just a word. We have common things that we say that our actions sometimes challenge, don't we? I believe the Bible... Do you? Of course, preacher, I believe the Bible. I'm here, and it's a Sunday night. I'm here. Of course, I believe the Bible. Do your actions tell me that? Well, in this area, in this area, in this area, in this area. Okay, which area does it not tell me that? See, it can almost become sacrilegious. The things that we say can almost become sacrilegious, can it?
Yeah.
I believe the Bible, but... There's X, Y, Z that you're not following what the Bible says. Now look, it's not an individual's job to go around and police everybody making sure they say the right things, and they, well, you said you did that, you believe this, and I saw you do this. It's not your job to go around being the policeman for everybody. But you ought to be your own policeman. And you ought to listen to the policeman called the Holy Spirit that comes to you and says, remember when you said you were going to do what I said? Remember when you went to the altar and yielded to me? And now you're out here doing this, saying that, participating in this or that. Come on now. What we say matters. You come to this altar and you say something to God, you better do it. Don't come up here and make a profane proclamation. Well, then I'm just not going to go to the altar anymore. Well, that's just as much of a rebellious attitude as coming and saying you're going to yield and then not doing it. Right? In fact, there's a parable that Jesus gives. Which man was more righteous? The man who the dad says, go do it. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then he repented and went and did it. Or the guy who says, he went to the other son and said, go do it. And he says, okay, dad, yes, I'll go do it. And then he goes and doesn't do it. Well, the one who repented and went and did it, he got the job done. And the guy who said, yeah, I'll do it, and he walked away and didn't do it, Jesus said he was more condemned than the guy who said no in the first place. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Lord. I'll come down and yield to that, Lord, and then I'm going to go out and not do it. That sounds like a profane proclamation to me. Just like what Hosea was talking about with as the Lord liveth. I'm just simply saying words matter. And if we want revival tonight, we're going to have to stop doing the things that we want to do. We're going to have to stop using some profane proclamation. Okay, God, the phrase is used, stirred but not changed. Oh, yeah, you're stirred and you come down here. You're stirred by the Spirit of God because you're convicted. And you come down here and you pray and you talk to the Lord and you submit to the Lord and you were stirred by the message. And then you go out those doors and you don't do anything that you committed to do. You don't do anything that the Holy Spirit told you to do. Let me tell you something, you were stirred but you weren't changed. You were part of a profane proclamation. He said, avoid those. And again, we're going to go back to the person who said, well, fine, I just won't go to the altar. I just won't go to the altar. I just won't make any commitments. I just won't submit myself. Well, that's rebellion. That's rebellion. Are you telling me that the Holy Spirit's going to tell you to do something and you're not going to come down here and yield to it? Now, look, if you did that to my mama, now look, there came a time when we got kind of too big for my mama to handle. Kind of. So you know what she did? Well, she'd do that sometimes. She'd call daddy sometimes. But most of the time, you know what she did? You know, she couldn't make us bend over the bed and all that. So you know, she just got the belt or the switch or the paddle or the spoon or the frying pan, or whatever it is she could get her hands on at the moment, and she ran as fast as she can, and she just beat us all over the house.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Look, my mama tells you to do something, and you don't do it, and you're her child, you're going to pay all over the house. And then when daddy gets home, he going to make you bend over the bed, and you're going to pay for it again. You think the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to do something, and you're going to say, well, I don't want to make a profane proclamation, so I ain't going to do what he tells me. I ain't going to submit to what he tells me. And you think, look, you couldn't get away from my mama. And you think you're going to get away from the Holy Spirit. No, you know what you're doing? You're gift wrapping yourself for the devil. You want to rebel against God? Say, well, I won't want to make a profane proclamation, so I'm not going to respond at all. I'm not going to do what God says at all. Okay. And the Holy Spirit is going to whoop you all over this world. You couldn't get away from my mama. What makes you think you can get away from the Holy Spirit? And you certainly couldn't get away from my mama, because she would get the shoe. She didn't need to go look for anything else. She could get that look. She could get that shoe off her foot before you could say no. And she beat you all over the head and all over the house with that shoe if you didn't do what she told you to do. And one time she couldn't catch me, so she threw it at me and conked me right in the head with it. Please. With the sole. She was a good aim.
Yep.
With the hard sole, then she went whoop, and it went bam right in my back of my head. Look, I can't get away from my mama. I can't get away from my mama. I don't think I can get too far away from the Holy Spirit without Him whooping me up all over this world.
That's it. Yes, sir.
But I'm sure you're the first person ever that's going to get away from the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you can. You just go ahead and try. You see, because Adam thought he could hide behind a tree. I remember one time I was in kindergarten. I got mad at my teacher. So I ran away from her. And I went and I hid. Have you ever seen a kindergartner play hide and go seek? They're not often very good at it. And I went and hid behind a tree. The only problem is the parking lot was here. The tree was kind of about 15 feet off the parking lot, and I hid on the side of the tree where you could still see me from the parking lot.
That's good.
I thought I had a good hiding spot. But somehow, some way, the principal found me. You think you got a good hiding spot, but the Holy Spirit's going to find you. Now, he says, avoid people, places, and proclamations. And now he gives the reasons why to avoid them. First, Israel's stubborn heart. Verse 16. Woo! He moved beyond verse 15. Thank God. He said they're stubborn. Look what it says in verse 16. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. You ever try to get a 500, a 300, 400, 500 pound cow to do something it didn't want to do or move in a place it didn't want to move? Neither have I, because I didn't grow up on a ranch. Brother Duane, now they got tools for it now. See, they got cheats for it now, don't they? But you just try to go ahead and put... But you just gotta, you use brute muscle and just brute might, and you just go ahead and try to push that and pull that heifer to somewhere it don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? It doesn't work. Now you get to get some cattle prods and stuff like that. Now you can make it do it. But I'm just simply saying brute strength. That's what the Bible is talking about here. He's saying, you know what? Israel's so stubborn, I can't get them to move away from their immorality, their corruption, their sin. The reason you need to stay away from those kind of people and those kind of places and those kind of proclamations, you need to stay away from that because they're so stubborn. Now, again, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about someone who loses their temper and says, well, I'm not going to hang out with that person anymore because they lost their temper. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are so stubborn, even God can't move them. Beyond their own will. I don't want to hang out with nobody like that. Now I'll go and try to plead with sinners. I'll go and eat with sinners to try to get to use my influence to bring them to Jesus Christ. But you know what Paul did? We've been talking about Paul in the book of Acts. You know what he did when he went to the synagogue and they refused to believe and they started to persecute him? He just left. Fine, I'll just go and preach to the Gentiles. He said, I'll try to give you a chance, but I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to sit here and try to push a stubborn heifer where I want it to go, because it doesn't work. We're talking about people so stubborn that even God couldn't get them to do right. Those are the kinds of people, places, and proclamations you need to avoid. when they're so evil and so wicked and so corrupt that even God can't move them. Someone said that the backsliding heifer represents an incorrigible Israel. Incorrigible means that they could not be corrected. You ever met somebody, you tried to go and give them some constructive criticism, and you couldn't budge them? That was Israel. It didn't matter whether you preached to them. It didn't matter whether you were nice to them. You know, I just think that you probably shouldn't be worshiping Baal. Get out of here. We're going to burn you alive or whatever. They didn't want to hear it. They were stubborn. Secondly, he says, stay away from them because Israel's worship of idols. Verse number 17. You like how we're moving so quickly through these other verses? Ephraim, that's part of the northern kingdom, is joined to idols. Look what it says. Let him alone. Hey, did it say go hang out with them in their places of choice?
No.
Did it say, hey, go to the bar and have a drink with them, even if you just drink Coke so that you can develop a relationship with them so that you can win them? No, it says he's an idol worshiper. Leave him alone. Come on. They're worship. They're idol worshipers. Look, I'll try to give the gospel to an atheist, but I'm not going to sit there while he blasphemes my God. He wants to listen to my side of it, and he wants to listen to me, give him the scriptures, and I'm kind to him, and let him explain to me why he doesn't believe in God. That's all well and good. We can have that conversation, and we can seek to understand one another, and hopefully I can seek to win him over, right? But the moment he starts saying, your God is a blankety-blank God, and that blankety-blank this, and all this other stuff, and starts blaspheming my God, David said, who is this Philistine that he should blaspheme the Lord? And he went out there and put a stone in between his forehead. No. I'll be kind and loving and seek to win them, but when they have given themselves wholly over to idolatry and they are so stubborn that they won't listen to anything that God has to say and they begin to blaspheme my God, I'm done. I'm walking away. And I'm not going to keep company with them. Amen. Third, he says, Hosea's prophesies. Oh, sorry, third reason, Israel's participation in immorality. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about they get so drunk. You know how people get drunk and then commit immorality, right? This is talking about, hey, after their drink is gone, after their drink is out, in other words, they are sober-minded. They understand. What it's saying is they are committing immorality, completely understanding what they are doing. It wasn't they got so drunk they didn't remember the night before type thing. It was a thing where they understood their drink was sour. They weren't drunk anymore. They were completely sober. They completely understood that which they were doing. They completely understood their own choices, and they chose to be immoral anyway. We're not talking about somebody that slips up and falls into sin. We're talking about someone that has with sober mind and with an understanding ideology chosen to reject God and embrace immorality. That was Israel. And he says, stay away from them because they have stubborn hearts that even God can't move. They're worshiping idols and they're wholly given to it, and they participate in immorality, completely understanding what they're doing. And then Hosea prophesies of Israel's destruction in verse 19. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. That's talking about their sacrifices to false gods. It says, the wind hath bound her up. You know what Hosea said? A storm is a-coming. A storm is a-coming. A storm is a-coming, and it's going to blow them away. Look, it's like the big bad wolf and the three little pigs. He's going to huff and he's going to puff and he's going to blow their house down because it has not stood on, solid ground. It wasn't built. Look, they hadn't built their lives upon a belief in Jehovah. So when the enemy came, they were all gift wrapped up. Look, Israel was gift wrapped for the devil because of all the things that they had participated in. And when he came to blow their house down, all he had to do, he didn't have to huff and puff. All he had to do is go. And look, their kingdom collapsed. Why? Because they didn't have the foundation of Jehovah and they didn't have the protection of Jehovah anymore. And you know what? The Bible says that they would be sorry for their sacrifices. You know what they said when Assyria came in and completely destroyed them? Oh man, we should have. Look what we did. We weren't worshiping the right God. Quick application for us. This was a message to Judah. Stay away from Israel for what Israel done. Here's a quick application for us. Christians need to show discernment when choosing the people they spend time with, give their attention to, and are influenced by. Hosea told Judah to stay away from Israel because they were involved in things that were contrary to the Lord. He warned them to stay away from their people, their places, and their proclamations. And while this was a warning given to Judah because of Israel's actions, it serves as a warning to us as we consider the people we spend time with, the people whom we give our attention to, the people whom we allow to influence us. Why can't one felon hang out with another felon? Because they don't want them influencing each other. Why doesn't God want you hanging out with people that have a disdain for God and hate God and don't want anything to do with God and have a stubborn heart against the things of God and worship other things? Maybe not idols in its traditional sense, but they worship other things, not God, and they're involved in immorality and corruption. Why doesn't God want you to have anything to do with those people? Because they will bring you down. And let me tell you something. For those people, there's a storm a-coming. There's a storm a-coming. Hey, there's going to be a day, praise God, when God comes and raptures us out. And then there's a 7-year tribulation. It's a storm! That's a coming for those people that are corrupt and sinful and immoral and refuse to be moved by the things of God. Amen. There's a storm coming. Now, why would you want to get wrapped up in their storm? Look, I didn't hear about anybody saying, hey, there's a tornado down in Nashville. Let me go get one of those buildings that's going to get me killed so I can be part of the tornado. You ever hear anybody say anything like that? Oh, look, I heard there's this tornado. Now you've heard some of those crazy storm chasers. Of course, they're not trying to get into the, they're just trying to get, okay, we're not talking about those crazies, okay? But you don't hear people saying, hey, I heard there was going to be a tornado over in such and such part of Kansas, and it looked like it was like 5 miles wide, and it looked like it was going to destroy the whole city. I'm going to go down there to that city so I can be a part of that storm. No, you got people driving out trying to get away. And that's what Christians ought to do. That's what Christians ought to do with people that have a disdain for God and don't love Him. And don't want anything to do with Him. And don't want to change their ways. Get away! Avoid the people, the places, and the proclamations of people that don't want anything to do with God. The devil wants to use certain people, places, and proclamations to bring you to Him. All gift wrapped up so He can destroy you. And let me tell you something. You come gift wrapped to the devil, he'll tear you up faster than a 3-year-old with his toy on Christmas. Come on. He'll tear you. You come gift wrapped to the devil, he'll tear into that wrapping paper and he'll have you shred to pieces.
Right.
Faster than a 3-year-old can break his toy on Christmas. And that's just the plain truth. Look, he tried to get Daniel. He didn't get Daniel. But you know what? Just as soon as those evil, wicked men that had put Daniel in that lion's den, just as soon as they were put in the den, the Bible says they didn't even get to the bottom before all their bones were broken. Daniel didn't let himself get gift wrapped for the devil. But those evil, wicked men that put him there sure did. And he tore them up before that. Look, the devil got them tore up before they could ever get to the bottom of the lion's den. That's what the devil's looking to do to you. Says that he's as a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. Stay away from people, places, and proclamations that have a disdain for God, that blaspheme God, that have a stubborn heart towards the things of God and the Word of God. If you don't, you're going to be part of the storm. You're going to get gift wrapped. And you're going to get delivered right to the devil. And he's going to enjoy it. Don't give him the satisfaction. Hey, you want the kind of satisfaction that Daniel had when the king called down. It's okay, king, I'm here. My God took care of me. Talk about satisfaction that I can live with. King, it's okay. My God protected me. Why did God protect Daniel? Because he didn't get gift wrapped for the devil. He didn't give in to all that junk. He didn't give in to the idol worship. I worship in that king. He said, I will worship God and God alone. If you'll make that choice today, that doesn't mean that there won't be hard times that come. Hey, you may get cast into a lion's den. Like Daniel. Okay? You might end up in jail like Joseph. Look, just because you follow God doesn't mean there's not hard times ahead. But it does mean you'll come out of those hard times standing strong. Doesn't mean you'll never get put into the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But boy, oh boy, what a wonder it was when they walked out alive. What a testimony it was. And remember, every ruler of every province of Babylon was there. Can you imagine as they simply walked out of the furnace and gave glory and honor to God? That's what I want with my life. I don't want to get gift wrapped for the devil. I want to be able to come out of the furnace. I want to be able to leave the prison. I want to be able to be drawn up from the lion's den, having been protected by my God, not gift wrapped for the devil. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the message of your word. And we pray that you have done the work in the hearts of your people tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.